This is the paralegal career panel presented by UCSB Professional and Continuing Education, in particular, the paralegal certificate program. And I'm your moderator. My name is Craig Smith. I believe I know some of you out there in the audience. I am the program director of UCSB's paralegal certificate program. And for this evening's panel, we have several panelists. April Norman, who is with Norman Paralegal Services and is the president, the current president of the Santa Barbara Paralegal Association. Cynthia Zipser, who is with the Conejo Valley Legal Professionals Association. Marietta Jablanca, who is an instructor in the paralegal certificate program and is a paralegal with Tyne, Taylor, Fox, and Howard. And Joseph Jones, who is an attorney and a former instructor in the paralegal program and who is a partner with the law firm of Ball and York. So I thought I would start out this panel discussion by having the panelists further introduce themselves. And maybe if I could have each of the panelists start out by telling the audience a little bit about how they got into the paralegal profession, leading up to what they currently do. So let's start with April Norman.
Good evening, everybody. I am April Norman. I am originally from Arkansas. You'll probably hear from the little bit of an accent that I have. I've been working in Santa Barbara since 2014, and I began as a legal assistant for a criminal defense firm in town, and I transitioned to a civil defense firm, primarily representing public entities, and that's where I became a certificated paralegal. And then now I will soon be transitioning to work remote for a plaintiff's firm that's in civil also, and I am the president of the Paralegal Association here in Santa Barbara.
Okay, and April, perhaps you could tell us a little bit about Norman Paralegal Services and how that fits in with what paralegals do and your particular, your career as a paralegal in terms of working with attorneys.
Currently, I do a lot of 1099 type work as a paralegal, and I assist attorneys in different assets, but I'm available for several different firms, which makes it, being a kind of independent paralegal is really also beneficial because it doesn't limit you as much. And so I really enjoy being able to work with all different types of attorneys and in different types of law.
Okay, so basically you're working as an independent contractor.
Yes.
Right. And I think the members of our audience who are already in the program and have had Marietta's class in ethics, they are well aware that paralegals can only work under the direct supervision of an attorney, that they can't provide services directly to the members of the public. But I also know that we have other members of the audience who are thinking about getting into the paralegal profession, and they may not realize that.
Yes, so you definitely always have to partner with an attorney. Currently, that's what the current laws are, is that you always have to be under the direction of an attorney. You cannot obviously sign things or those sorts of things. So. But it is useful to attorneys who can't afford a full-time in-house paralegal to do it on a case-by-case or as needed contract basis.
April, do you have any idea roughly of what the percentage of paralegals in the Santa Barbara area work as independent contractors as opposed to those who are employed or salaried?
It's a low number. Santa Barbara market is typically a lot of smaller firms or boutique style firms, and they typically employ full-time in-house paralegals for a lot of them have really started recently leaning towards hiring in-house paralegals to stay for long term, seeking knowledgeable, skillful paraprofessionals as opposed to legal assistants.
Okay. Well, thank you.
But it's a small number for, it's a higher number for independent outside of Santa Barbara County. It's just Santa Barbara County is so small. It's more limited here.
What would you say the advantages are of being an independent contractor as opposed to a salaried employee or vice versa? What are the drawbacks to it?
Speaking from experience with both, I like the flexibility of being a contractor 1099 style paralegal because I can take on as much or as little work as I want at any given time. So if I work a lot in a 3-month period, I can take a few weeks of vacation time and not have to worry too much about if there's going to be work when I come back or taking time off with a big firm. But I do really enjoy being part of a firm full time. It's nice to feel part of a bigger picture that's consistently together. So you get to more consistently see the product of your work if you are with a firm full time.
Okay, thank you. Let's then turn to our next panelist, and that would be Cynthia Zipser. Cynthia.
Hi, my name is Cynthia Zipser, and I am with the Conejo Valley Legal Professionals Association. My career, which is a legal networking group in the Conejo Valley, and but we welcome members from all over, actually. And my career started by accident. Actually, I was going for another career, and I would do temp work, and I found out that being a legal secretary paid more money than being even an executive secretary at the time. And so I sort of came in the business just, as I say, accidentally. I then found myself doing more and more work. I've got to know the business, mainly personal injury is my background. I also have business litigation and some real estate and entertainment. And I have to say that I am not a certified as a paralegal. I did not take the classes or get the certification. I am one of those that they called, I was grandfathered in after being trained by some really good attorneys I worked for. From those temporary jobs, I did end up getting some jobs that were long-term where they wanted to employ me. And I really learned the business. And one of those jobs was where we were a small firm and we merged with a Beverly Hills firm where I became the office manager and was overseeing all the paralegals. And at that time, it wasn't soon after that we got the L-tryptophan products liability cases. And it was over 150 cases. We were getting these cases from other law firms west of the Rockies. And after 2 years of working, almost 3 years, we did win all those cases. And it was quite something. I was supervising 4 other paralegals under me for all the discovery and putting together the medical books. I was summarizing doctors' notes, nurses' notes. I was summarizing cases. I was doing everything, actually. We had it set up with the court where there would be, we split up our cases of 50 cases at a time, where when we had to submit discovery or any of the papers to the court, we were just like a publishing firm there in that little office. But that was a great experience. Then I married a corporate securities attorney. Actually, I moved to Vail from the LA area, where I was mainly working in Century City and Beverly Hills and West LA. Then went to Vail, and my career was basically kind of helping my husband at the time with transactional work, since he was corporate securities. And I learned a lot about that business. Then when we came back to the LA area, we ended up in the Caneo Valley in Westlake and Thousand Oaks area, which is where I am now. And the first thing I noticed when I started looking for jobs was that definitely the salaries were much less than what I was used to. I was told it was because, well, you don't have to travel into town, but I got to tell you, the work is still the same. And I was a little surprised, but you know, you just got to go with the flow. During the recession, I want to say between 2009 to 2012, there were many law firms that closed or they merged. And I saw salaries really decreasing due to the shortage of jobs, and as well as actually candidates coming out of the paralegal schools that were coming into the market. I want to say, I have been doing more 1099 work here, independent contractor. When I have worked in law firms, it is for a contract job or a very specific thing. There was a while there, though, that just seemed like the law firms needed to really hire people like me. They kept us at 1099 as 1099s, and then the laws changed recently, where there's much more scrutiny about that line that's crossed. And currently, I am a legal consultant, a legal liaison for private clients. So I am the one who can translate the legalese for the client. Many times when they're hit with a lawsuit, you know, they're very, very well versed in what they do and in their respective careers. But when it comes to the law, it's like Greek to them. I know how to talk to the attorneys that they've hired. I speak the shorthand. I know, can get what they really want from the client. I really do love doing this, where I work with private clients. It's a little different than if I was actually doing paralegal work. I would have to be under an attorney, the guidance of an attorney. And I understand that. And I've done that type of independent contractor work. But I am happy right now doing the legal liaison work.
Now, how would a client go about finding a legal liaison such as yourself?
Well, it's interesting. Mine has kind of started more word of mouth. I actually was having some friends that were starting to go through some divorces. And, you know, because I was a friend, I was like, well, yeah, I can, you know, I know what your attorney wants. I can help you here a little bit there. And I realized, wow, there's a market here for this. The people really, you know, need this kind of help. It wasn't just about family law, but for me, it was word of mouth. I still need to do more marketing for myself to expand my business. just up to this point, it hasn't been necessary.
I should probably go back and just clear up a couple of things for the members of the who are on the webinar or the audience in the webinar who's not yet enrolled in a paralegal program thinking about getting into it. You mentioned that you were not a certified paralegal. So once again, the audience, those who are not yet paralegals or paralegal students, I should say, should understand that in the state of California, there are, well, number one, not everyone is just entitled to call themselves a paralegal. You have to qualify. One of the ways to qualify is to become, to hold yourself out as a paralegal is to get a paralegal certificate, such as the one we offer at UCSB Professional and Continuing Education. But that's not the only way. You can also qualify to hold yourself out as a paralegal based upon practical experience. So the basic rule is if you have a bachelor's degree from an accredited college and you have 1 year of practical experience and an attorney then attests to that, then you can hold yourself out as a paralegal. If you don't have a bachelor's degree, then you need 3 years of practical experience under the supervision of an attorney. So that's just in a nutshell what you mean when you say that you weren't certified as a paralegal. You didn't complete a certificate program. Of course, we like to tell people that getting a certificate from either UCSB or any other qualified institution is probably the shortest path to becoming a paralegal.
Right. I have to say, when I started, they didn't have the paralegal schools.
Right.
So, and I didn't even know that you could still be grandfathered in. I mean, I'm, you know, going back to the early 80s when I started.
Okay. Well, thank you very much, Cynthia.
You're welcome.
Let's then turn to our next panelist, and that is Marietta Jablanca.
Hi, I'm Marietta Jablanca. I am a paralegal. I'm also an office manager and a notary. I don't have a paralegal certificate either, but I do have a law degree. And that's kind of how that's how my career started as a paralegal. I took the bar, I didn't pass it, and also realized that maybe I didn't want to be an attorney, but I did want to work in the law. I was fortunate in that my civil procedure professor needed an office manager and a paralegal, and one of my classmates, the number one student in my class, actually was working there as an attorney. She'd been an attorney for a year. And so I left the law firm that I was working for, which was mostly criminal work, and went to work for, it was the law office of John J. Tyne III at first, but now we've really grown and it's become a partnership. And the attorney that I do the most work for mostly does transactional work and real estate work. But as our firm has grown, I've, you know, just taken on more and more different types of cases that that I help with and that I work on. And then also, as a paralegal, I've been able to do some independent work as well. I did some personal injury work with a friend of mine as an attorney, and he owns a State Farm insurance defense firm. And that was really fun. I really actually like personal injury. So I got to do that on the side for a while. And what else?
Well, in addition to doing the paralegal work, what else do you do around your office?
Well, I mean, I feel like I wear a lot of different hats. You know, I do the billing for the office. I do a lot of writing. I do discovery. I mean, I do everything from even just ordering, making sure we have enough coffee and things like that. So it's a small firm, and Santa Barbara is a small town full of small firms. So if you're a paralegal here in Santa Barbara, you may find that you're doing more than just paralegal work, and you may be doing just administrative. I do a lot of administrative work for the office too. So, I mean, we're getting ready to move. I'm helping coordinate the move. Things like those kind of things fall on me, which, you know, is great because it's nice to have a variety of things to do as well.
So you mentioned that the firm that you work at is quote, a small firm. How many attorneys are in that firm?
Well, I mean, when I first started, it was just two attorneys and a part-time attorney, and now it's five attorneys. So we have four partners and another student at Santa Barbara College of Law that was a few years behind me. She passed the bar and she came to work for us. So we have five attorneys and we have another paralegal as well, Maria, and she's been a paralegal she's not certified, but you know, she's been a paralegal for over 20 years and she's amazing. And once we move, we were kind of hoping to maybe hire a paralegal just to do discovery. Because as our firm grows, the amount of discovery that just two paralegals are doing is insane. So, but that, you know, you could be a paralegal and specialize in one area of the law firm, and discovery would be one of those areas. So.
Thank you, Marietta.
You're welcome.
Let's then go to last but not least, Joseph Jones, who's an attorney at law with the law firm of Ball in York in Ventura. But Joe, if I recall, you started out as a paralegal. Is that correct?
It is, Professor Smith. For 10 years, I was a paralegal at the same firm here in Ventura. I got my start in paralegal the way a lot of my colleagues out here did. I was an English literature major at university. I'm from New Jersey. I went to LaSalle University. And the English Lit degree qualified me to make coffee at Barnes & Noble or do something else. And my wife at the time had her father was an attorney and offered me a job as a law clerk if I brought the family out here to California. And so that's what I did. But for those 10 years, I started as a clerk, and a clerk at this office meant that I like Marietta, I made sure that we had coffee, but they also had me paint the walls and clean the floors, deliver mail. But I used my writing background to kind of get my foot in the door, wrote a couple of letters for the attorneys here, met with some clients, that kind of snowballed into a paralegal degree. Or a paralegal position, and then a couple years into that, I started law school. I worked my way through law school as a paralegal, eventually passed the bar, and you know, 10 years later, I'm here on the panel with you guys.
And I should also mention, in case I didn't mention it before, you also taught in this paralegal program as an instructor.
I did, while there was a campus here, at least a satellite campus in Ventura, I taught a couple of classes, recruited a couple of students from those classes to both work at the firm. So one of the students actually just gave her notice here. So we have an open position or two for anyone here on the webinar that's in the Ventura area. We are accepting applications. As well as my former legal secretary was a graduate of the program and then herself became an attorney a few years later. UCSB is a terrific program. I was not a certified paralegal. I told you I started cleaning the floors and seeing the candidates coming from this program. They were instantly more prepared both for the work that we would give them and the more deserving salary than folks that didn't have that quite the same experience or background.
That's great to know. So Marietta mentioned that she works for a small firm. How would you categorize the firm that you work for partner?
At least as far as attorneys, we have six attorneys here, four partners, two associates. Then we have a staff of three medical records clerk. We're primarily a personal injury firm. So we have three medical records clerk, three secretaries, and then ideally we have five paralegals, but we only have three right now. So again, you know, the managing partner here wanted me to make sure I solicited any applications from interested candidates in Ventura County. So I would consider us a medium-sized firm, at least for Ventura, as far as the total staff that we have.
And what kind of tasks do you have your paralegals doing?
So the first and primary task at our office is discovery. So we'll have clients, their first contact for our clients are paralegals to help respond to the interrogatories or the production requests. The paralegals would do the compilation of that information, the writing of that information for the response wise. But then we also have our paralegals take a crack at the first pass of the requests that we make, as well as for some of the ministerial tasks at the office. So preparing the form complaints or the summons, the subpoenas. And then for our more senior paralegals, they'll actually come to trials with me or with us, or depositions with me or with us, and help prepare the witnesses or the examination outlines, the trial documents. They kind of go through the whole ride.
Okay, thank you. Let's then go to the next part of the webinar, where we're going to talk about what the job market is for paralegals and what kind of salaries one might expect if you're just starting out. And I do want to remind the webinar audience that we encourage you to ask questions of the panel, and you can do that in one of two ways. If you look at the upper right-hand corner to the right side of the screen, there should be a Q&A box, and next to that, a chat box. So if you'd like to ask questions, because after we get through these next two segments, and the last segment is going to be devoted to questions from the audience. So feel free at any time to enter your questions either into the Q&A or into the chat. So let's then turn to job markets and salaries and kind of get us started. I can tell you that when I get inquiries from applicants to the paralegal program or people who are thinking of joining as students, one of the questions I often get is, will I be able to get a job as a paralegal, and what type of salary can I expect to make? So with those questions in mind, let's focus first on the Santa Barbara area market, and let me call upon April Norman. What would be the answers to those questions? Can you get a job as a paralegal in Santa Barbara, and what kind of salary would one expect starting out?
So for those of you that are not very familiar with the paralegal job in general, you have to be aware that there's a lot of nuance in your salary. It bases on the size of the firm, the type of practice, and how long you have, how much experience you have. And so Santa Barbara market, it's almost always, there are available jobs, but it seems to be that it's almost always in civil litigation, but there are other opportunities in other types of law as well. It seems to me that over the past couple of years, there's been anywhere between 8 to 15 jobs available at a time. Right now, it seems like there's about 20 to 25 available. There is high demand right now. And I would say in the Santa Barbara area, for Santa Barbara, typical Santa Barbara size firms, a lot of paralegals can start at around $53,000 a year, and it goes up to $65,000. That's entry to mid, typically. And then also, that doesn't include oftentimes any benefit package that you would get if you're full-time with a firm. which is also an additional benefit to being with a firm as opposed to a 1099 or an independent contractor. So, but I have also noticed that, and this isn't as common in Santa Barbara, but it is available, especially now with the emergence of a lot more remote firms, that contract law can really get you a much higher salary if you have interest in contract law. So that has been a note of late.
So let me just clear that up, April. When you say contract law, you mean the substance of contract law, actually drafting contracts, that type of work?
Yes, I've actually noticed recently, like I said, this isn't Santa Barbara area, but it has been a big thing that I'm noticing is going to be a lot larger at post-COVID is, drafting contracts specifically with employees and employer relationships and like that, or huge contracts between companies and such like that. I noticed a lot of entertainment contract positions that are available with very high pay.
So this in theory would be work that a paralegal could do remotely from home without actually ever going into an office. Is that correct?
Yes, I would say that, or alternatively, maybe just one or two in-person meetings, creating the possibility of living in a separate location and just traveling on occasion. So.
And as the president of the Paralegal Association here in Southern Santa Barbara County, South Coast Santa Barbara County, about how many members do you have in the association?
Right now, we are closing in on 100 members for the first time in history. we have 97 members, which is huge. It grew a lot this year, and a lot because this year, since everything was remote, we waived our membership fees. So anybody can join this year and take advantage of all that we offer, and then next year, we're going to go back to paid, but we are planning on giving the association a bit of a facelift in terms of what we offer to the members. So this is a hope and not a firm plan yet. So please do not quote me on this. We plan to offer an actual location with job banks. And job opportunities where anybody can go to the website and employers can find paralegals seeking jobs, and alternatively, paralegals can find employers seeking jobs. So.
And that sounds terrific.
That is our big hope for 2021. So, but also I would like to clarify that we do the entire Santa Barbara County, although Okay. Everybody is focused down south because it's just, if you know, in Santa Barbara, there's just the huge disconnect between the North and the South County. But this year, because of the free membership, we have gotten more North County members that are interested because they can attend more virtual events and such. So,
that is a good point you make, because in Santa Barbara County, the biggest city is actually Santa Maria, which is in North County and not Santa Barbara. But if you look at the attorney population, there are far more attorneys with addresses in Santa Barbara than there are in Santa Maria. So it is a disconnect. Okay, thank you. Let's then turn to what's going on with respect to the job market in Ventura County. And I'm gonna ask both Cynthia and Joe about this, but let's start with Cynthia.
I have found, because I do still look online for some jobs and seeing what's out there, and I'm looking more for a part-time, so I'm going to talk in terms of per hour. I just noticed that in Ventura County, it seems to be as low as $17 or $18 an hour. Can go up to 22, 23. Sometimes you'll be able to find a job for 25 in Ventura County. I'm just trying to think. I'm not saying it's an absolute as far as there, of course, are a few jobs where they'll be maybe $30 an hour, but those seem to be rare or higher, 30 or 35. It's kind of rare, I found in Ventura. So that's what I've observed lately.
So Cynthia, would those jobs with those hourly rates, would those be 1099 independent contractor type jobs, or would those be salary positions?
Now, actually, I'm seeing these as like part-time salary jobs.
Okay.
Yeah.
But not 40 hours a week necessarily.
No. Uh-uh. I was going to say maybe yearly. I see somewhere around, I want to say like maybe 55,000, 60,000.
Mm-hmm.
Well, of course, it depends on the law too, you know. Yeah. Type of law you're a paralegal for. So,
well, that sounds roughly comparable to what April, I believe, was quoting for Santa Barbara mm-hmm. County. Yes. Let me turn to Joe as an attorney. We're not asking it for any secrets from your law firm, but just sure. In general, what is your sense of what paralegals down in Ventura are making? And I should probably make it clear, Cynthia, being from Caneo Valley, that's what I think we would call East Ventura County. And Joe's office is more, I don't know if it's West Ventura County, but it's in the city of Ventura.
Where I'm down in Thousand Oaks, Westlake area.
Okay, so on the border of LA County.
Yeah,
my office is below the grade, and I divide Ventura, at least for me as a lawyer, as the office is over the hill versus where my office is. Yeah, I'll be honest with you. Ventura is kind of a wide market, so there are a lot of firms where it's an attorney or maybe an attorney and a couple of staff members, and in those places, you'll find folks that are hired as a paralegal that are earning an hourly rate of maybe $15, $16, $17 an hour. Those employees, though, don't have a lot of experience, and the attorneys they're working for don't have the caseload to justify paying more. And then anecdotally, I know of the person who was my mentor when I was a paralegal is at a firm in the city of Ventura making an hourly wage that rivals what a first-year associate here in Ventura, associate attorney, would make. But that person's a certified paralegal with 30 years of experience in the field and is very worth what that person's being paid. What I can tell you, my firm, we hire full-time paralegals on an hourly basis. We do that so that if a paralegal is working more than 40 hours in a week, we'll pay them overtime. I saw a question in chat. Again, my firm's a small to medium-sized firm. We offer benefits to our employees, which is health and 401k. My friends in other, this is again all anecdotal though. I can't speak for every firm in Ventura. I know of probably half of the firms I'm aware of offer some similar comparable benefit package to their paralegals. And my firm will pay someone based on experience. We'll hire someone with the idea that that person has no experience and to train. And we'll hire them at the lower end of that scale that even Cynthia was talking about. And for someone that's worth it, that has the experience, that doesn't need a lot of handholding, they'll get paid, you know, more than $30 or $35 or $40 an hour, maybe more. It will depend, though, again, on that particular employee's worth to the practice.
Does your
firm, did that answer your question?
I think you did. Okay. Does your firm have a preference for applicants who have a paralegal certificate?
It's going to depend on the time of the month that you ask our firm that. Meaning, are we you know, at the beginning of the month where we're not worried about the overlay of cash, we certainly will expect and want the certified paralegal because that person has the experience necessary that they don't need a lot of supervision. And then the joke is towards the end of the month when you're paying the bills, then you'll want to hire someone with no experience because you can pay them a lot less than maybe than the market value. As the person at the office who is primarily interfacing with paralegals on a daily basis, our preference is for a certified paralegal or someone with experience. And there's practical considerations for my firm for that reason. Occasionally, you will have an attorney's fees motion, or we'll have some version of the fee arbitration where we'll need to justify the attorney's fees and the firm's fees to a finder of fact or to an arbitration panel. And it's a much easier thing to do when the person who you're billing out at $100 or $150 an hour has a certificate from a program that recognizes that they are a paralegal, as opposed to someone without that kind of training. So generally my firm will prefer someone with the certification. It's not a prerequisite, but that's our preference.
Understood. Thank you. And then let's just go briefly to Los Angeles. Now, I'm going to put Cynthia on the spot here because she, as she explained, is on the border of Ventura and LA counties. And I believe you mentioned you had some experience with what goes on in LA. What can you tell us about what the job market and salaries are down there?
Well, they overall seem to be more. I know like in Century City, I was just looking this up recently, you know, that could be anywhere depending on your experience, 65 to 110,000 a year. I know personally, I had been working for a firm, this was a few years ago, that is in West Los Angeles. And I was making $40 an hour. I was basically the discovery paralegal. What got me that job was, I would like to stress to the students, writing skills, definitely very important. I know for me, it really helped. When I would answer those questions, I would always dig deeper. I am a writer. That's another hat that I wear. And going beyond the obvious, asking questions is important. And, you know, when you show you have a keen interest and you have an eye for detail, that's worth a lot, I have found in my experience.
Certainly worth a lot if you're an attorney or a lawyer, and certainly worth a lot if you are a paralegal. So thank you. Mm-hmm. The next topic is getting hired in terms of, from the paralegal's perspective, let me ask Marietta, what would you advise someone who is just earned their paralegal certificate and they're looking for their first job, where should they look? What should kind of questions should they be prepared to answer? And while you're doing that, I just want to give everyone fair warning. I'm going to stop the screen share because apparently, unless I do that, I can't see any questions that might have been posed. So I'm going to stop the screen share. But go ahead, if you can, Marietta, and then also April, feel free to chime in on that subject as well.
Well, I do believe that it's really important to join organizations such as the one that April is the head of, the Paralegal Association. It's nice, they send, whenever there's a job posting, a lot of people that are hiring contact April and let her know that they have an opening, and then they'll send out an email blast. So I'll get that once in a while. It's also good to connect with their instructors through the paralegal certificate program. If you're in the program, connect with them, especially if you want to work in Santa Barbara, because it's a small community and everybody knows everybody in the legal profession here. Certainly, I would set up a profile on LinkedIn and make sure the word paralegal is in there, even if it's something like you could make your title paralegal certificate candidate. And sometimes you'll just get unsolicited information from LinkedIn letting you know that there is a position that has the words that are in your profile. So I get them all the time. Indeed is another, it's a website. I'm sure you all know Indeed. They have a lot of paralegal. It seems like a lot of the companies, like even corporate type of paralegal positions and law firms, they seem to advertise on Indeed a lot. And so if you ever post your resume to Indeed, you'll get notifications all the time. You can set up these things to for alerts to let you know when a position comes up. Even Craigslist, they have a lot of paralegal positions on Craigslist. And if you can get if you can do an internship, it's really helpful because sometimes that firm might be hiring if they like the work that you did as an intern, or the attorneys in that law firm, they know attorneys in all the other law firms. So it's just connecting with people is probably one of your best bets. And then also using Indeed or LinkedIn. That's where I would start.
Okay, yeah, thank you. April or Cynthia?
I would definitely build on what Marietta said about, especially in Santa Barbara, your biggest asset will be your network. Every person that you interact with is going to have connections to you elsewhere. And so definitely be mindful of every time that you interview with every single person, every application that you put out, even if you're putting it out for one law firm, other law firms very well may see it. And then whenever you're seeking a position, make sure you know exactly what you're seeking and what you bring to the table. Because if you go into the interview or the application process knowing exactly where your strengths and weaknesses are and how you can assist and realistically make an attorney's life easier, the easier the attorney's life can be, the higher your salary can go, generally speaking. So, and the more sought out you will be. So definitely know what you're looking for and pay attention to your details and networking. Those are the big things that I would say.
Yeah, I agree.
Thank you. Cynthia, did you have anything to add?
Yeah, I do agree with everything that Marietta and April said. Really, the Indeed and the LinkedIn. I know when I moved back from Vail, originally with the Canale Valley Legal Professionals Association, I found that they were having a meeting and I wanted to start networking. And truly from there was the start of my Ventura County kind of part of my career. And we too also have, with the networking and educational seminars, if people need the CCLS and MCLE credits, I just think these networking groups are really a good thing. Trying to think anything else. Of course, anybody you come across, I've gotten jobs from old employers who referred me. It's okay. Exciting. It can happen.
Yes. Thank you. Let's get the employer's perspective, Joe.
All right, so everything everyone else said is terrific. And I would endorse that. I'm gonna also suggest that you bring me a writing sample, even if we don't ask, or bring the employer a writing sample, even if it's not asked for in the advertisement. Because I think, as Cynthia said, I mean, a paralegal, like an attorney, is a professional writer. At least that's how I view the profession. We wanna see that you know how to write. And then if you're going to interview at a litigation firm, hopefully that writing sample has something to do with litigation. Maybe it's a letter or some interrogatories or some discovery, just something. All of our firms too now have websites. So before you come and interview with us, take a look at what our website is so that you know what the attorneys look like or what we do, and be prepared to answer questions focused on the fact that we're looking for someone that's going to be a long-term asset to our firm and someone that could get going on day one. And then, at least for my firm, so if you ever come interview for me, the managing partner here, or the senior partner here rather, since we're a civil litigation firm, will ask you questions about procedure. So just be prepared to answer some basic questions about procedure. He likes to ask people, I'm giving away all the secrets here tonight, Craig. He likes to ask people what a motion for summary judgment is or what a demur is. So if you're going in the field in a civil lit firm, maybe be able to answer some basic questions about that kind of practice. Or if you go to an estate planning firm, at least that shows it, that you have an interest in the area of law that the firm is doing and not just because the firm happens to be hiring.
Do you get a lot of unsolicited applications or resumes?
Not these days, but we used to.
Okay, good to know. Okay, let's then open it up to question and answer. And I did see there was one question in the chat that was directed to the panel. And the question was, do law firms or law offices pay paralegals benefits? Are there benefit packages associated with the salary? Who would like to take that question?
I could start, and then maybe if Marietta wants to build on what I have, since she does office management positions as well. I've noticed that in Santa Barbara County, most small law firms, especially if you're going to be a salaried employee, will offer benefits in terms of insurance, mostly health insurance. Occasionally, you can get vision, dental, and life also. That's not as common, but health insurance is almost always provided. Paid time off, including most firms, closed during the court holidays. Some stay open during what's known as the lesser holidays, but some provide for flex holidays, I've noticed, on the lesser holidays. So that means the ability to float that holiday from what would have been your day off to a different day off. And so those are a lot of benefits that I've noticed. But that's really mostly the benefits. And I will say also, more often than not, a lot of law firms provide Christmas bonuses or year-end bonuses to their employees as well.
Okay, thank you. Marietta, did you have anything to add to that?
I really don't. I think April hit everything. I don't get health insurance at my firm, but I do get paid time off and sick leave, Christmas bonus, things like that. Again, as our firm grows, more benefits, that's one of the goals, is for us to have more benefits. So, but I've seen in a lot of ads, there are offerings of health insurance and 401k and things like that. So it's not like, I mean, it's totally possible to get those things.
Okay. I think it's probably fair to say the smaller the office or the smaller the firm, the less likely they are to offer any type of benefit or health insurance.
I would agree with that.
Yeah. Joe, would you have anything to add to that?
I think I had mentioned my firm, what we offer benefits, so vacation and sick time, 401k, to our paralegals. But I know firms in Ventura that offer more than us, firms that offer less, and firms that offer nothing. So it really is probably, like you mentioned, Professor Smith, it probably depends on the size of the firm.
Okay. And then let me see, there's one last question. This will be the last question we'll take for this webinar. Is becoming a paralegal a good way to determine if one would like to apply for law school? Is being a paralegal truly a good representation of what it is like to be a lawyer or attorney? Are there opportunities to get into human rights law or something more justice oriented as a paralegal? I'm going to say this question has Joseph Jones' name written all over it as to be the one to answer it.
All right. Can you still hear me? I'm having some issues with my
screen. I can still hear you at least.
Okay. All right, perfect. So for me at my firm, for the type of stuff that we did, being a paralegal was a good training ground for being both a law student and both a lawyer, for a lot of reasons. The first is the work that you do as a paralegal sometimes, and some of the more professional paralegals might be able to speak to this a little bit more. The better you become as a paralegal, the more the attorney begins to rely on you. And the more the attorney begins to rely on you, maybe the less you see the attorney really scrutinizing some of the things that you do or delegating more work to you. And if you like the work and if you do well at the work, then really sometimes the difference between being the attorney and being a paralegal is whether you can present the material in a courtroom in front of the judge or in front of the jury, or whether you can be the one that signs the document at the end of the day and has the final say on what's sent over in the name of the client or for or on the client's behalf. I think that was the first part of the question. What was the question about civil rights?
Are there opportunities to get into human rights law or something more justice oriented as a paralegal?
So when I hear justice oriented, I hear, at least in my mind, that conjures up things like working either for the public defender or for the district attorney. And there's certainly options available for that. Some of the requirements for that position, you're much more well prepared to the extent that you have some experience or a certification. But outside of the public sector, there are plenty of options that I'm aware of available to that kind of law or that kind of practice. You'll look to a civil litigation firm, probably on the plaintiff's side or almost exclusively on the plaintiff's side. Probably even smaller or more niche firms. And those firms are looking for assistance the way any firm is looking for an assistance. But again, you'd want to have as many targeted experience or examples or samples available while you're there for the interview. But that's where too the networking, being involved in a professional association or even having the background for a program will help you out, because I get calls at least once or twice a month from attorneys saying, because they know of my background and experience at the paralegal program, and say, hey, Joe, do you know anybody that's looking for a job as a paralegal? Because my firm that does insert area of practice here is looking for somebody and we need somebody good. And you know, now that I'm not actively involved in the program anymore, I need to be exposed to those applicants through some other way. And getting your name out there in the networking field, whether you want to do civil rights work or any other kind of work, is the only way that I'll know who you are to be able to refer you.
Okay. Well, thank you. Oh, go ahead.
I'd like to add to that the part of the question that says, is becoming a paralegal a good way to determine if one would like to apply for law school? And just add that so many of my students, when they're introducing themselves at the beginning of class, a lot of them say they're doing this for now. They want to test out the waters and that they do kind of plan on going to law school. And I do think it is a good way to determine if you would like to apply for law school, just to even see if you're really that interested in the law just from taking the classes. So I would say yes, the answer would be yes.
Okay, well, thank you. So this wraps up our webinar. And so I want to thank each of our panelists, April Norman, Cynthia Zipser, Marietta Jablanka, and Joseph Jones. And for those of you who are in the webinar audience who are not yet enrolled in the UCSB paralegal program, want to remind you that you do need an associate's degree or a Bachelor of Arts to be eligible to become a paralegal certificate candidate. And the fall quarter begins in late September, and fall quarter is the best time to start. All of our paralegal courses are offered in the evenings now, and for fall quarter, most paralegal courses will continue to be offered via Zoom. Fall quarter classes actually open for enrollment in late June. And if you have questions, you can always email me or you can go to our website. So once again, thank you all for attending, and hope to see you all down the road, and have a good Memorial Day weekend. Thank you.